Three.
This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of The Dr. Ivan Show. I am a clinician with 20 years of experience. I help people work through many types of relationship and adjustment-related issues. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. Today, we're talking about the need for you to take the lead for your parents when they are no longer able to make sound decisions which will ensure their well-being. You know, it's a very, very difficult process because we are all so used to our parents being in charge, our parents being the ones who have taken the lead for all of our life. And it's difficult when we see them decline. We don't want to acknowledge things as such. In fact, we certainly don't want to step on their toes or inadvertently be disrespectful to them. It's a challenging situation that so many people will ultimately find themselves in. And I'm telling you, if you haven't thought about this before, now is the time. Unless you are prepared for this, you will not handle this dilemma well. And it makes sense, because you don't want to be a controlling influence in your parents' life. You want to be a supportive, helpful one. The problem comes in when your parent is no longer in a cognitive position to be able to do this well for themselves. And oftentimes, because of the normal pride that is associated with independence, that we all have, when a person starts to lose this clinical ability to manage well the decisions of their life, it's not something that one wishes to see fully or acknowledge clearly. I found for many years that as this begins to occur in people, people have the all too common response of just what I call faking good. They will assume that, hey, listen, it's a minor setback, or I'm not just quite myself today, but I'll be fine, but who knows better than me what should be done? And I will maintain the control over my life because it's my right to do so. Well, yes and no. For honest, yes, it's your right as long as you can do a good job with that. And I'm telling you, for you adult children of aging parents, people who have either been aware that there may come a time when your parent will start to decline, or people who've seen this already start to take place, it's a very difficult proposition. It's a difficult situation to find yourself in because it's not what you ever wanted. It's not about being in control. Believe me, it's a thankless job. But it is about doing right by your parent when they need you most to do so. I have a good friend and colleague who has been in a very difficult situation with her aging father for many years. Now, her parents were divorced a long time ago during her adolescence. She describes her mother to have been very selfish, passive, manipulative, and largely emotionally unavailable. Now, this isn't anything that she is trying to make her mother feel bad about. She's certainly not trying to discredit her mother, because her mother deserves respect nonetheless for bringing her in this world and doing the best that she could for her. But she needs to view the situation before her accurately. And with her mother still being of the same personality as she will be for the rest of her life, because we all know personalities are pervasive, her mother's just really not an option. Her mother's not available to help with the situation that she has before herself. And that is her father, who is really starting to decline and in a great deal more than she even realizes. She describes her father as equally selfish, controlling, needy, and hypercritical of anyone who doesn't do as he wishes. My friend, who is the only remaining child of her parents' union, has always done all that she could to ensure her parents' individual well-being. In recent years, though, her father has developed dementia and has required her assistance in every way imaginable. What makes matters worse is that he had lived out of state for some years, and refused to move closer to her in order for her to more effectively help her manage his affairs. He had been very secretive and defensive and resistant whenever she tried to inquire about how he was doing and help in any way that he did not approve of. As she feared, she ultimately learned, some years back, that her father had recklessly spent all of his life savings and placed himself in a situation of financial compromise, in that he was no longer able to afford to pay for the apartment that he lived in, or his ongoing living expenses. She was then able to arrange for his move to the state where she and her immediate family reside, in effort to secure a really nice apartment for him. And after he refused to live with them, which probably was for the best, she did just so and paid for this and was happy to do so. Again, no problems. In fact, the only problem, I should say, is that he fought every step of the way. Now, since then, she has spent a great deal of time and money in bringing him to various medical professionals for assessments and treatments, and despite receiving the absolute best medical care since he has moved to her home area, he has since continued to cognitively decline. Unfortunately, he's now at the point that he is no longer capable of safely living independently. What makes matters worse is that he is a very angry and controlling person who will refuse to cooperate with his daughter, or anyone else for that matter, whenever he feels challenged or restricted in any way, despite these changes and restrictions being so loving and caring and designed only to ensure his well-being. You can imagine he doesn't see it as such. In fact, he can and has become verbally antagonistic and assaultive toward others, including his daughter, at those times. He's currently residing in an independent living facility for older adults, which has the benefits, for those of you who don't know, of socialization activities, hot meals, and transportation to various outings. This is a really nice kind of middle ground where the person still has their own apartment, they still have a great deal of independence, they just have a little assistance in some of the more mundane tasks and the tasks that would be better served managed by others to ensure their safety. Recently, on an outing, this gentleman neglected to stay with the group, and he chose not to inform the staff that he had decided to take a cab somewhere else while on this outing and under the responsibility of the people who took him out. This left the responsible parties tremendously worried about his well-being. When he was later found, he was bothered by being told that he needed to let them know that he was not planning to return with the facility on the arranged transportation, as they were responsible for him. He just could not reason with them. He could not understand that. He could not even begin to consider, hey, yeah, you know what, though I didn't mean to, I probably put you in a bad position. He didn't care to try to get this, regardless of whether or not he was capable of understanding that. Due to this situation, he has then been reassessed to have his current cognitive ability, his level of functioning, professionally assessed, so that nobody is subjectively determining that he can or cannot do this. It's the most responsible way to demonstrate and document a person's true ability. Unfortunately, the results of this testing had indicated that his decline is profound. Further memory and judgment impairment has set in, and he's just not safe to be able to even remain in the current living environment that he's in. It's a very regrettable situation, certainly nobody's fault. But now my friend is faced with the regrettable task of having to inform him of this fact, experience his wrath in doing so. Additionally, she has taken tremendous efforts at trying to find out more appropriate places that he can reside. She's done everything she can to help him in the pursuit of the next best place for him, and he is making this so difficult. Please stay tuned. I'd like to speak with you about whether or not this is something that you're prepared for in the event that it does present for you. It's not something that most people are prepared for, but it is something that you need to prepare for well in advance of finding yourself in the situation. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a few. You're listening to the Dr. Ivan Show. Good morning, this is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am a clinician with over 20 years experience, and I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents. We're talking today about the fact that you must take the lead for your parent when they are no longer able to make sound decisions which will ensure their well-being. I was telling a story about a good friend of mine and colleague who's a graduate educated medical professional who finds herself in the situation of caring for her father, who is a angry, controlling type, a gentleman who does not make this task of looking after him and ensuring his well-being easy in any way, shape, or form. I just mentioned before we went to break that he had an incident which required him to be further assessed. And in this assessment, he was determined to have become far more impaired with memory, judgment, taking ability. I can tell you both professionally and personally that my friend has been wonderful in looking after her father's needs and ensuring that he has had all of the best treatment. And now, in her commitment to researching and touring all of the best facilities that will appropriately meet his various medical and cognitive needs, he is making this process tremendously difficult. And so the question becomes, how do you support a parent that doesn't want to be supported? How do you intervene and show up and do right by this person when not only don't they appreciate the help that you're providing, they fight you every step of the way? It's a tremendously difficult situation that you find yourself in. And I can tell you from my experience professionally, unfortunately, it's not a unique situation. We have a caller, Andrea. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for calling. Can you relate to any of what I'm speaking about today?
Yes, I believe that a lot of my age, actually, in our 40s, are being faced with the responsibility of taking care of aging parents.
And parents not
wanting to give up any type of control over their own daily activities and their assets, because it does render them a feeling of helplessness.
And so tell me, if you wouldn't mind, what your specific situation is like. How old are your parents? Are they declining in any way, shape, or form? Have you started having the conversations in preparation for this, even if they've not declined as of yet?
Well, they have not declined as of yet. However, my parents are in their late 60s, and we're starting to have some of these conversations as, you know, more illnesses, as we're dealing with more illnesses that they're having.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, you are to be commended to be so proactive. Typically, I hate to say it, I'm in a situation where people come to my office when they're trying to put out a fire, only after they've sorely neglected this need of their parents. And good people, I'm not talking about people who've been wanting to do wrong by their parents, but people just don't want to look at it because it's an uncomfortable situation. But you, on the other hand, sound like you are being proactive in advance of your parents actually needing this level of intervention. You've started the dialogue. Is that correct?
Yes, because I have parents that are retired educators, and they don't want to give up any kind of feeling like they need help. You know what I'm saying?
I totally do, but I think, you know, while they're still very capable of having an intelligent conversation about this, and I can only assume as educators they have to be quite bright, I think that's going to be your strongest approach, is if you can appeal to their intellect. Are they reasonable? Can you say, hey, listen, I have no interest in taking control in any way, shape, or form away from you. My primary objective is to assist you. So can we approach this more as partners and not opponents?
Yes, I believe that's exactly how I'm going to have to approach that.
I think you can set the stage and establish the early emotional tone as one of cooperation versus opposition. And you're right. I think that, you know, all sorts of play here, and it's all too common to kind of like lock horns and fight the good fight and take a stand and say, I will not have my kid. I mean, I can even hear as I'm thinking about this and speaking about this.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear my father speaking to me, and he's passed now, but I mean, he was the type to have said, I'm not going to have some young punk like you control my blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you what, I can assure you I've never been a young punk. I've been nothing but loving and caring to my parents, but that's just the angry kind of antagonistic response I would have gotten. And he was a good man. I'm just saying that would have been his anxieties getting the best of him. Fortunately, it doesn't sound like
absolutely. I don't want to give up any sort of control, so I completely relate to that, yeah.
And so let me ask you this. Are you alone in kind of trying to prepare for ensuring your parents' well-being, or do you have any siblings who are available to help?
I do have a sibling. However, he doesn't live around this area, so pretty much alone in this situation, which I think compounds the anxiety that I even feel having to go through this.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And I'll tell you, even though you're right, a sibling not in the same general area is limiting. However, if he is of the same mindset, if he is able to kind of be an emotional support, maybe if need be even a financial support, I'll tell you what, something's better than nothing. And you might find that there's power in numbers. If you were able to kind of align with him and say, hey, listen, I'm not asking you to move or do any of the physical stuff. I'm all in. But if you can just kind of echo my sentiment and support this gesture of wanting to kind of like be there for mom and dad, that might help a great deal.
Yes.
Do you think that he'd support you in that way? And in his conversations with your parents, you know, help to kind of smooth the path toward that?
You know, I think sometimes when siblings don't live in the same area, often it's out of sight, out of mind. So, you know, that's a conversation that I'll have to have in the near future. So I'm not really sure how to answer that.
You know what? That's a great point.
Right,
because you may just, you know, have hit the nail on the head that, you know, it's an unfortunate situation that nobody looks forward to kind of having to deal with. And one of the most commonly utilized coping strategies that I know people to have is just avoidance and wishful thinking. And we always try to project kind of a more favorable situation on our loved ones than might actually be the case. But you could say, hey, if nothing else, I need your support on this. And if you just don't see it as I do, I'll tell you what, why don't you make a site visit? Why don't you come in for a week with the primary objective of kind of going from place to place and maybe talking to an elder care attorney and preparing for this in his eyes. Could you stay tuned? I'd very much like to continue this conversation, but we need to go to break.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Please stay tuned. You're listening to the Dr. Ivan Show. We'll be back in just a few. Please stay tuned.
In my eyes, in this
This is Dr. Ivan Wilson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I am here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We're talking to Andrea today, and she so generously has shared her story with us. She is living in the same area as her aging parents. Now, they're in their late 60s, which is still on the young side, and both as educators, they're very intelligent people. They aren't currently in a position of needing her to step in and ensure their well-being, but she so wisely has been proactive in initiating these conversations in anticipation of wanting to do whatever she can to help when that time comes. And Andrea, I applaud you just thinking ahead in this regard. So many people, as I stated earlier, they wait until the person's already in a position of need, and then that process becomes far more difficult.
I have worked in the medical industry in the past where I've had to visit their facilities, and that's just not an option that we ever want to go to. And, I think that as children and parents, that needs to be a decision. If something happens, do you want to go to a facility, or do you want to try to live in your home, or are you willing to come to, a child's home, one of your children's home, to live out your final days? And if you want to do that, is your children willing to put in that time and effort to allow that to happen?
That's a really, really great point. You know what it is, and in fact, I've always said, I want to get back to something else you said first. When you said that you've had the opportunity to work in some of the care facilities, and it's certainly not an option that you'd ever want for your parent. I mean, I agree in general that certainly if your parents can remain in their own home or in a family member's home, I'll tell you what, that's always a far preferred situation. I mean, you can't pay a person to love your parent as you will. However, I think that you have to kind of be very careful and never say never, because God forbid, if there were some medical needs that required nursing care and you weren't a nurse or your spouse wasn't a nurse and that just was something that was needed to, manage them medically and give them quality of life ongoing, there is a huge difference from place to place. There are a lot of bad places out there, and I hear you, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of good places out there too. And they should be used not as the first line of defense, but if the situation calls for that, sometimes you might do yourself a disservice by committing prematurely to never utilizing that option, since none of us can know exactly what needs will be in the future. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I mean, I have been in a few that, that I would not have a problem with them staying. And I think, people that are looking at that as an option, there really are differences between facilities. And if that's going to be an option, you really need to take the time and effort to investigate it and make sure, that how your family member will be treated, because they are run so many different ways,
It's so true. And I've always said there's no substitute for just site visits, right? I mean, there are a lot of marketing companies that are out there, and it's their job to kind of paint the picture in the most positive light. And they can come up with a beautiful color, fancy, glossy brochure, and that tells you nothing, right? I mean, the true way to know how good a place is by just, touring it, and not only when administrative staff is there, right, when everybody's on their best behavior, but make kind of surprise visits, go after hours, go on the weekends. And I feel one of the all-time best ways of knowing what a place is really about is when you are there, talk to some of the people who reside there. They'll be straight with you. They'll let you know if there's any problems that they have or if they feel it to be a good place. Now, you want to make sure that the person you're talking to is somebody who is being fair and will give you a sound opinion, not just somebody who's psychotic, right? But you're absolutely right. You have to kind of check things out for yourself and do the research. But fortunately, you're in a situation where that may never present, right? You've got parents who are still relatively young. They're very intelligent and relatively open-minded, I presume, just because they're willing to kind of embark upon this conversation with you. So I think you're in a privileged position. I mean, you yourself clearly have a big heart, and your parents are intelligent and reasonable people. So I'm telling you, you're already in a better situation than so many other good people are.
Oh, absolutely.
But I like how you're thinking ahead and you're having this conversation. When you say that parents don't want to relinquish any control, which you're absolutely right with, are you saying that kind of in general, or have you already started these conversations and felt a little pushback from your parents?
No, I'm just saying that in general. I know my parents, we talked about that, and they don't want to get, you know, we talked about, you know, why don't you come to live with me, you know, if something happens, because my father's going through some illnesses right now, and my mom and I have talked about, well, what, you know, if something happens to Dad, you know, you don't need this big of home to live in, you know, why don't you come and stay with me? And, you know, absolutely not. You know, she doesn't want to do that, and I understand that completely.
Yeah. Well, the other option that we haven't considered yet, and again, even actively think about this, but if there are the financial resources to hire in-home help, right? If mom doesn't want to move in by you, if the need arises and a nursing home is unappealing for various reasons, that too might be an option. But the key here is to ensure their well-being. And I would think, as reasonable people, your parents could agree on that point. And that might be kind of like a bridge, a starting point to kind of further this conversation and say, can we all agree what is of paramount importance is ensuring your well-being, right?
Right.
Once you have them, that's the hook, right? Once you have them, you say, well, then how can any of us presume to be able to forecast the future and predict that that will be needed or that that would be unacceptable? Can we also agree to kind of cross that bridge when we get there and make the best, most sound decision based upon what will serve you most well at that time? And if they could agree to that, which I hope they would, again, it's a very, very simple, reasonable request, that's when I think you need to start putting things into writing. That's when you need to kind of document this, because these conversations can be forgotten pretty quickly. And people kind of get stubborn and they dig their heels in the sand. And I find the more compromised a person becomes, the less reasonable they are. Most your help might be when they fight you most.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, have you talked about like a power of attorney status? Have you talked about maybe even enlisting the support of an elder care attorney?
Yes, we have talked about that. And the reason I'll tell you that we have talked about that is because of the sibling that I have that lives away from my parents that lives in another city. My parents also adopted 4 children out of foster care.
Wow.
And, my biological sibling is really concerned because he's greedy and doesn't want to deal with the situation of having to share with adopted siblings, you know. So that's a conversation we've got to have as well, you know, because in my book, you know, they are brothers and sisters just as much as he is, and he doesn't see that.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And again, I appreciate you being so real and talking about these real issues, because they exist and it's not an isolated event. And sometimes we don't like to kind of admit that, but it's a factor. And ultimately, I mean, I've got a strong opinion about inheritance, and that is that none of us are owed anything, right? I mean, if it's a wealth or whatever it is that a person or people have accumulated in their life, it's completely their choice, not our choice,
yeah.
Right? Shouldn't it be about what people want? It should be about the people who have this wish it to go. And so I'm a big person against, you know, score and counting other people's money and saying, hey, it's not fair. You know, you owe me. Nobody owes us anything.
Exactly. I'm on your side 100%.
So that might be another, and as you say, that might be another inroad to kind of getting some of this stuff in writing so that the door isn't open for some later legal dispute over what, you know, was assumed to be right or wrong versus somebody else's speculation. The other thing that I think can be tremendously comforting is in educating our parents as to the limitations of a power of attorney. It doesn't just give whoever has it complete control. It's only when warranted. Can you hang the line just a little bit more? Because I wanted to finish this point. Would you mind?
Yes, that's fine.
Very kind of you. Okay, please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. We're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. This is Dr. Ivan Wolfson of the Dr. Ivan Show. I'm a clinician with over 20 years experience. I'm here to help you better manage the needs of your aging parents and help you help yourself in the process. We're talking today about the need for you to take the lead when your parents are no longer able to make sound decisions in effort to ensure their well-being. We're talking with Andrea. Andrea, thank you so much for staying on the line. We're talking about the many, many benefits of power of attorney status. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why, though your parents are still quite young, one of the reasons why I believe you cannot put this in place too soon is because we never quite know what a person's health is likely to be tomorrow, right? I mean, even people who are relatively healthy, you know, bad things happen all the time. I mean, you could have a stroke, you could have a heart attack, you could get hit by a car. I don't mean to be pessimistic or a downer, but the reality is nothing is guaranteed. We like to think that everybody will live well into their old age, but it's never too soon to kind of get that legal document in place to be able to help if for some reason you need to.
Oh yeah, like we've been faced with intensive care 3 different times in the last.
Wow, so you know that.
2 years. So like with blood clots, you know, different illnesses that could have resulted in death, but you know, ultimately didn't.
Right.
So yeah, something that you got to talk about.
So you know that all too well, and I'll tell you another thing that a lot of people don't understand. We talked earlier about the control issue, which is all too human kind of thing. You know, nobody's wrong to kind of want to maintain control over their well-being, but what a lot of people don't understand and why I think so many people to putting the most responsible family member in a position of is they don't want to lose control and have that person kind of outrank them. Well, the fact remains that that is a position that is a privilege that only goes into effect. You can only operate and utilize that decision over the first person when they're no longer able to make sound decisions. So you can give somebody power of attorney and still be in control of your own life and just have that there ready for the use if you sometimes later need it. But did you know that that doesn't automatically give the person with that legal designation control over the well-functioning thinking of another?
Yes.
Okay, because a lot of people don't, and that's why I think it's such an uphill battle to have people, you know, give that designation. But you're not losing anything as long as a person can be demonstrated, kind of know what they're talking about, and make good decisions on their behalf. Nobody can overrule them. So from what we've been talking about today, it seems like you're in a very good position in that you really want to do right by your parents. And unfortunately, you might be the only person who is going to be an active part in this process. And so I think your best effort is going to be in enlisting, you know, a more of a cooperative kind of approach from your parents, helping them understand that you don't mean to be in a competitive dialogue, but rather you just wish to help them responsibly prepare for the future and set that emotional tone in the light of partnership versus competitiveness.
Right.
The second issue that I think is at play here is that it's really, if you kind of boil it down to the most basic element, we're talking about trust. Certainly your parents trust you, but it's a very intimidating proposition to put anybody else in a position of power. And I think you might also kind of, you know, benefit them by saying, hey, listen, mom, dad, If in fact you do trust me most, and it's not a competition kind of thing, but I think I've demonstrated for you that I'm here for you, give me that authority, and you know what's going to happen? It's going to become a power struggle. And then all bets are off, right? We have no idea who's going to get the lead. Do you want to keep yourself vulnerable in that way? That might be something that they can understand.
Yeah, definitely that's going to have to be a conversation because I know, like, my sibling that, you know, doesn't live around, he is involved. He's an insurance, he's involved in the insurance agency, and so he's really concerned about the monetary side of how things are coming out on his side. And I think every family has certain family members that think along those lines, rather than what's best for my aging parents.
Right, but again, if your parents are willing to have this conversation with you now and they see it, their eyes are wide open and they can see kind of what the reality of the situation before them is, then I think that they might look at this from another vantage point. And actually, instead of being threatened by the suggestion that they kind of afford you this privilege of kind of being in the lead position to look after them, they may be comforted by that. They may say, hey, best option. You know, let's partner with this now and stop, you know, kind of having a debate when time is of the essence. I think you're absolutely doing right by your parents. Well, yeah, and part of it is just, you know, I know you want to play nice, but, you know, sometimes you just have to say, hey, listen, I don't mean any disrespect, but this is perhaps a more serious issue than you may realize. And just respectfully kind of assert yourself. And I see too many people who are good intentioned just kind of like put the information before the parent and then take a back seat to kind of like, well, you just let me know when you're ready. Well, you know as well as I, your parents will likely never be ready.
Right.
I thank you so much for the call. It's been so enlightening, and I applaud all that you're doing for your parents. Thank you so much, and please call back. Let me know how that conversation with your parents goes.
Okay, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. We're talking today about the need to take the lead for your parent when they're no longer able to make decisions to ensure their own well-being. I've got some tips for you. We're running short on time, but I'll quickly run through these. It's never too early to find an elder care attorney to assist with making sure that their legal and financial affairs are in order. 2, put together various family resources, find out who's willing and available to help, and present a united front so you don't have to go it alone, if at all possible. Understand that securing a power of attorney does not give control over the parent unless they are in a position of compromise. Understand that you can have different people serve in healthcare versus financial. It doesn't have to be just one. Create your own support system because you may need help in going through this challenging situation to do your best work. We all are emotional beings and we need appropriate support to do our best work. And then finally, do your homework. Research the best assessment and treatment teams, residential care options in advance of needing them. You will be well served for that effort being put forth in advance of needing it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back Monday, March 14th at 11 a.m. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Please stay tuned to the next tune, March 14th. I'll talk to you then. Thank you.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.